Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kelly Clarkson, and this is Miss Into Podcast.
The Kelly Clarkson Fan Podcast, talking all things Kelly and to you.
Here is Jeremy and Pam.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Miss Into Podcast, Kelly Clarkson Fan Podcast. My name is Pam.
I'm Jeremy, and happy release day. It has finally come. We now all have in our possession Kelly Clarkson's 10th studio album, Chemistry. I cannot believe it's finally here.
I feel like we've been waiting for this day for like 3 years. Seriously, it seems like so long. And it's kind of hard to believe that we're here. We're here. We have the new album. It is such an exciting day. It is such a good album. Dare I say her most eclectic yet.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right? Yeah, I mean, look, we've been, I was thinking about what you were saying about how long we've been waiting for this album. I mean, man, we've been waiting for this album for over 5 years, you know,
really,
since we kind of got over the high of Meaning of Life. And sure, yeah, we had When Christmas Comes Around and we had the Kelly-Oke album to sort of satisfy us for a little while. But let's be honest, we were all really wanting a new album of new material. And I think if you would have asked any Kelly fan back, you know, let's say a year after Meaning of Life was released, what would you expect from the next Kelly Clarkson album? Nobody would have said what we just got in our hands in Chemistry.
No, this is, I was thinking about this. This sounds so different to Meaning of Life. Because when you think about like the two, you know, I guess this is her third album with Atlantic, but only her second one of like original music or non-Christmas, I'll say.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that. And like that album, Meaning of Life, I was very like R&B, urban, pop influence. Oh, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I don't even know what to classify this as, but it is light years just different.
Yeah.
But like, there's obviously a lot of elements, like a lot of influence. I really think Kelly was on the nose when she like said that this album is a combo of multiple different albums. She said Breakaway. She said Meaning of Life. She said Stronger. I even hear My December in there a little bit. Like I hear it's really a little bit of everything. And it's seriously, this is going to sound weird, but this really sounds like a modern day pop record. Like this is what's like what you're hearing on the radio. And I don't think that was intentional, but I'm really noticing it's like very modern. And I think that's exciting.
You can definitely hear the influences that Kelly has picked up sort of over the last 6 years on this album. And, you know, where she doesn't necessarily mention My December when it comes to comparisons for this album, I think if nothing else, this is the most emotional album that we've received from her since My December. I mean, no question. And I would even say the emotions on this album are double that of My December. I mean, for many reasons. I mean, the subject matter is so much heavier. She has progressed so much as a songwriter. And like you said, Pam, it's got a more modern flair to it. And like, this is like the production value on this album. This is what I wish My December had. And that's no knock at the producers of My December. It's just simply, like you said, a more modern pop album that just sounds incredible from the beginning to the end.
Yeah. And I don't know. When we were at Belasco, it was interesting because she's performed every song, but number one, we didn't know them. And number two, there were certain songs that were performed completely different than they are on the album. Mm-hmm. So it didn't really give us much of like an idea of what we were expecting. Like there's a couple songs on here that I was like audibly gasping and like, oh my God, because it's so different. And it's so something that was not captured live at Belasco and something that she has never done on a record before. So I'm so proud of her for so many reasons, you know, lyrically, just having the courage and, you know, to say everything that she needed to say. And I'm, you know, honored that she's like sharing it with the world. She didn't have to do that. And, you know, it's, and then sonically, you know, or I don't know what the word is, but like, it's just so different from anything she's put out.
Yeah.
I would say like individual tracks and as a whole.
This is just a, it's a beautiful album. It really, really is. And what makes that even more impressive is that it was a very collaborative effort in that you've got about half of the album that was produced by Jason Halbert. You got the other half that was produced by Jesse Shatkin. And the fact that you've got two different producing minds who are doing this completely separate of one another, and yet they can put this album together and it just sounds so incredible, again, from front to back. And, you know, I've listened to this album in a lot of different variations. And the first variation that I listened to is I just wanted, like, the second that I got my hand on the album, and I should say, Pam and I would like to thank our friends at Atlantic Records for allowing us to get a head start on listening to this album, because it really helps when you're trying to absorb this album, because we knew walking out of the theater in Los Angeles, we knew that this was a lot to process all at once, to get all of those songs shoved on you all at one time and then try to say what you thought about them was a lot. And again, we were feeling the same way when it came to this album, so I'm glad that we've had some time to sit with it. And so the first time that I listened through the album, I only listened to the songs that we had not heard out yet. So the I skipped over Mine and Me and Red Flag Collector and, you know, anything that had already been released. I only wanted to hear the new stuff. And so I sort of absorbed that. I listened through those several times, you know, really kind of got a feel for them. And then I was like, okay, I'm ready to take this journey. And so I listened to the album from front to back. And I swear to you, every time I listen to the album start to finish, it becomes more of an emotional roller coaster. I pick up more nuance in some of the songs. I pick up some of the lyrics, because one of the disadvantages that we have of having the album early is that we don't have the lyric sheets to follow along with. And so I'm looking forward to getting my physical copy probably later today so that I can actually follow along with the lyrics, which is going to be a whole new listening experience for this album. I'm interested, Pam, to hear what your thoughts were the first time you, the very first time you listened through the record.
Well, the first time I listened to it, like, you know, we got it on a day, and I, like, you had, we got it emailed to us, and then you listened to it, like, immediately, and was, like, I was having a really crazy day, so I didn't listen to it. I, like, got into bed, and I, like, put on, like, a really good pair of headphones, and that's what I usually do, and I, like, it's kind of a weird thing, but I, like, turn off all the lights, I put on a good pair of headphones, these, actually, and I just close my eyes and play it from start to finish. I did that with the Kelioki EP. I do that with each of the new singles. And now I did that as a whole. And I did it from start to finish, even the songs I didn't know. Because I think for me, roller coaster is like not an exaggeration. Like, I am so curious. Now, I don't know if this is a Kelly question. I don't know if this is a question for Carrie whenever, if we ever speak to her. I don't know.
Wish we should.
I don't know who has the say in the track listing. I am so curious what the thought process was in terms of, like, why they put certain songs where they did.
Yeah.
Because, you know, message-wise and, like, melody-wise and tempo, it is all over the place. And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But it's something I really picked up on, because, like, you get into a zone. Because there'll be, like, you know, maybe two or three songs that are similar tempo. And then, you know, you do a complete 180 and you switch gears. And so that was kind of my experience. But it was really enjoyable, because I never knew what was going to come next. Because even when I said Belasco, I know we saw it, but that was 2 months ago. And I didn't have a lot of memory. Like, I knew I loved Down to You. And I made that very clear in our episode.
You did.
I loved it. I couldn't tell you what it sounded like. I just remember, I think what's important for me, I know a lot of people, when they listen to music, they listen for certain parts. They listen for the melody. They listen specifically for lyrics. They listen to how her vocal is. And they're all important components. I think for me, my biggest takeaway is just how I feel when I listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not listening for a certain thing. Like, lyrics are important, but they're not the most important thing for me. So yeah, when I was listening through from start to finish, from skip this part to That's Right, it was really just how am I feeling right now when I'm sitting and listening to this for the very first time and you have no expectations? So I don't know if I answered your question.
but I get it though, because you listen for, you make an emotional connection to the album first and foremost.
Yeah.
Because I'm very much one of those people that I will sit down and say, all right, this time as I go through, I'm only going to listen to the lyrics. And then there's other times when I just want to hear the performances of the musicians on the album. I want to hear if I can pick out whether it's a live musician or if it's sort of like a digitally created sound or instrument of some kind. I want to try to pick those little things apart. And then I'm, you know, listening for flow and those kinds of things. And going back to your statement about who put together the track list, I know that Kelly had mentioned in some interview over the course of the last couple of weeks that somebody had asked her, you know, why didn't you just put the album in the order that, you know, sort of the relationship happens? And she said that it didn't sound right. And so they went back and they picked this order that they did. And I think it's a beautiful way to put the album because it is very like up, down, up, down, up, down.
Very
almost the
much
entire
so.
Album.
Yeah.
Which is nice because then you don't sort of get mired in like a bunch of really slow songs. And I will say, you know, again, now 2 months removed from the Belasco performance, the way that that show was performed, because they would have performed the album as it is in the track listing, except for the fact that they were performing it for television/video. And there were just logistics that they needed to change up so that they could make it work. So they had to do 4 ballads right in a row, which really kind of drug down the beginning of the performance of the show just because it was so slow to begin with. But that's not taking anything away from the show. It's just how they had to do it. But when you listen to the album, everything is right where it needs to be. And I do want to make one specific mention, and that is about the placement of both Favorite Kind of High and Chemistry, specifically Chemistry First, followed by Favorite Kind of High, because both of these songs are very much about what it's like when you kind of you see that person and you think, wow, that I am instantly attracted to that person. I am drawn to that person. It's the chemical. It's the chemistry between the two of you. These songs both deal with that subject matter, but on 2 entirely different levels. Chemistry, for me, the song, is like Kelly's coffee shop sort of Tori Amos vibe, okay? It's sort of the...
Interesting.
It's sort of her, like, introverted, like, if she saw somebody from afar and she's like, wow, like, there's something about that person across the room that I'm very drawn to. By no means am I going to get up and say anything, but there's something there, and I want to talk about that. And then you've got Favorite Kind of High, where she walks right up to that person and is like, you and me, let's do this. Like, you and I clearly have a connection. And it was a beautiful juxtaposition. By the way, I love the song Chemistry. It's the shortest song on the record.
It's so good.
It's beautiful. I mean, and I, you know, I've seen a lot of people who, you know, have either already heard the record or, you know, got clips or whatever, and some are like, you know, I'm not really feeling Chemistry. I did not remember much of it from the concert back in April, but I just know sitting down and listening to it and having Kelly in my mind when she said that she's never had a song like this before. She's never made a song. She's never written a song like this.
She was not kidding.
Yeah, I got it. Like, I got what she was talking about. It is a stunningly beautiful song that really, really stuck with me.
Yeah. Well, before we get, you know, too crazy out of order, should we start from the beginning?
You can jump around however you want. I actually don't mind how we do this.
Really? I thought we were going to go in order.
I don't know. You know what? We've been getting all the songs out of order. Everything's been out. The Belasco was out of order. We might as well do this out of order.
Okay. All right. Then we'll talk about Chemistry, the title track. I have to pull up a list now of songs because I have it in order. Yeah. Okay. Chemistry, I think, is like a very, again, this is not lyric content. I'm not talking about lyrically. I'm at like the sound and the feeling is very like light. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how to, maybe it's the way she's singing. as soon as when we were at Belasco, I was like, what does this sound like? And I do hear a little bit instrumentally of The Cure, mm-hmm. which I think Kelly may have mentioned. But vocally, this sounds like a song by Billie Eilish. It's called Ocean Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
People, take a listen to it. Tell me if you hear any comparisons. I think there's a lot of influence here. I don't know if it was intentional, but it's so good. The production is so cool. And it's so, as you said, it is so different than anything she has ever released at all. I think what's really special about this album as a whole is that there is something for everyone.
Yeah.
There is something for every kind of music taste, pretty much. You know, the only thing that we're not getting on here is like harder rock, you know, like,
yeah.
Or like, some of that really, really like, Since You've Been Gone kind of stuff. But there's still a lot. It's so diverse. And I think this is probably one of the most unique songs on the album. I'd say top three.
You know, another thing that reminded me of this song is, did you ever listen to the soundtrack to The Hunger Games, like the very first movie?
Remind me what's on there?
There's a lot of like Civil Wars, Nico Case. Okay.
Civil Wars, like Poison and Wine.
I mean, like there was a Taylor Swift song called Safe and Sound. Like this song sounds like it would fit perfectly on the very first Hunger Games soundtrack. There was something very, I'm trying to figure out exactly the wording, because there was a vibe to that movie, and it was like the music sounded very like kind of post-apocalyptic. I don't know. There was just some sort of a vibe that I was picking up when I was listening to this song.
I don't actually know any really of the songs that are on the soundtrack, but I know a lot of the artists.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying. I feel like it's also like, I don't know if this is a great example. I think of like Twilight, the Twilight soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Like what was that Paramore song? Decode. Is that what it's called? Did I make that up?
I don't remember, Decode. But I'll trust you on that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. It's just like a vibe. It's a feeling. I don't know how to explain. How do you explain a feeling?
I know.
How do you explain? I don't know.
Well, and another thing too is I just love Kelly with an acoustic guitar. Just those two together.
But there's way more to it though.
There's so many
little elements.
There is, but like when it starts, it kind of builds a little bit. And I love when the percussion comes in. This was a really, really beautifully made song. I did not think that I was going to like it as much, and I have to say that it did take a few listens for it to grow on me, but I'm fully in. Like I love the title track of this album.
There are a couple songs. This is not one of them. This one I absolutely adore. I think this is probably one of my favorites, but there are a couple songs on this album that I think are going to be slow grows for me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But anyway, now that you had mentioned Favor Kind of High, we did a whole episode about it, so I don't know if we're going to get too into it, but...
Yeah, I feel like we don't need to really rehash a lot of the already pre-released songs just because we've exhausted those as well.
But yeah, definitely. Favor Kind of High, like, fun. And... It's like super fun, super pop, super upbeat.
Yep.
But like, I think if I had to like rank so far for the album, it's like definitely like smack in the middle. What about for you?
For Favorite Kind of High? I mean,
yeah.
Favorite Kind of High is one of my favorites on the album. It really
is. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I am always going to lean towards the up-tempo, upbeat songs as contenders for favorites. There's a couple of the more ballad songs on here that I really, really love. But Favorite Kind of High for me is one of those songs that I just think is a standout on this album. I think that Favorite Kind of High and Down to You could be really great summer release songs for the radio, just because I think that this album is tricky when it comes to who it's for and who's going to really connect to it, because it is going to connect to a very specific audience. In fact, I sat down with a friend of mine who is divorced, and I said, I want you to listen to this album and, you know, tell me your thoughts on some of these songs. And just, I mean, almost after every single song, they were like, she nailed it. She absolutely nailed it. She nailed how I was feeling in that moment or at some point in the relationship. Even the songs that are more positive, like Your Favorite Kind of High, She said, yeah, that's exactly what it's like when you first see that person. So Kelly definitely zeroed in on a very specific audience and is talking directly to them on this album.
Yeah. What song should we talk about next?
I would like to talk about High Road.
Ah, yes. Okay. I wish I wrote this. I'm just going to say it. Rachel, yeah. Rachel, Justin, you guys killed it.
Mm-hmm.
I will not get too much into the weeds. I'm not on my personal life, but this literally is like something out of somewhat of my therapy sessions.
Yeah.
And I'm like, were you stalking me? No, just kidding. I know this song was written like 7 years ago. Absolutely incredible song. And it sounds very similar to the Jane Black version in terms, I mean, when we spoke to Rachel, spoiler, she had mentioned that a lot of the elements from the original version they used for this version.
Yeah.
So if you listen to the Jane Black version versus Kelly's, they're going to be very similar. Obviously the vocals and the way that they're singing it, different key. Mm-hmm. And this could be a really good single. It sounds a little like old Kelly, but like something that you could have easily heard on a previous album. But it still sounds new, and it doesn't sound like something that's like completely ripped off from, you know, I don't know, Stronger or something.
Yeah.
But I think this could be a hit.
But it's funny that you mentioned that it doesn't sound too old, because one of the first notes that I wrote down about the song was, I was like, I love the 80s synth vibes that I'm getting at the very beginning of this song.
I mean, in terms of old, I mean Kelly, like Kelly's sure. catalog. Sure, no,
I get that. Yeah.
That's what I yeah. mean, yeah.
Yeah, it sounded just very like 80s synthesizer at the beginning. I was like, ooh, mm-hmm. I am already in on this.
Yeah.
And then you get to that hook, and like that hook, I've had several hooks from this album stay with me. The hook from High Road is probably the one that I start humming out of nowhere the most. I mean, it's just one of those ones that just stays with you. And even if you don't get the words right, you can at least get the beginning part correct. And it's just such an infectious song. And, you know, there's really just the two songs on here that Kelly didn't write on. It's High Road and My Mistake. And when it comes to, and we can talk about My Mistake next, High Road is just, it fits. It fits this album so well. The lyrics, everything around the song, it fits into this album really, really well. And the thing that I'll have this point when it comes to My Mistake, it's all about Kelly's voice. And I don't mean the sound coming out of her mouth. It's the voice that you hear that's reading the lyrics. This is something that we sort of talk about in marketing when it comes to when you write on social media. They're like, okay, what's the voice of... Yeah. this company, what's yeah. the voice of this entity? And it's when you read it, you say, oh yeah, I know who exactly is saying that. When I read the lyrics to High Road, knowing good and well that Rachel and Justin wrote this song, I still can picture Kelly writing this song.
Yeah, it's basically like, can you believe, you know, is she singing it and making it believable? You know what I
yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
So that's the thing in terms of, this is just my personal preference. I know everyone has their own opinion, but like in terms of like, you know, oh, but she didn't write it. I mean, if it's a good song, like, and does it matter? Sure. Yeah. It's really, you know, I know it's sometimes a little bit more impactful when you know that the artist wrote the lyrics, but sometimes it, you know, if they mean it and they believe it, even if they didn't write it, does it matter? It's still a good song.
I don't know if this is going to matter to the average listener of this album, but it's important to me to hear each of these songs in Kelly's voice, because this is a very personal album to her, and I want these songs to really be able to let her convey her story, her yeah. truth. And I feel like High Road just fit like a beautiful puzzle piece right into this album. And it really is a high mark. I mean, it's one of my top three songs on the entire mm-hmm. record.
Me too. Me too.
And just, you know, I have to say that, you know, again, it was one that I was just like, oh, that was a really good song the first time I listened to it. And then as I kept listening to it, I'm like, wow, this is really good.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, now you mentioned My Mistake. And I know you and I have spoken a little bit about this just like texting.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting, like, I did not remember this at all. Uh-huh. I have no memory of what this sounded like. I really like I guess the beginning and the chorus, they're both the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really cool, kind of unique melody. I don't know how much, I mean, I know she didn't write it, but I guess for me, again, it's all about the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I love the way it sounds. I love the way that she sings it, the way that she conveys it. The verses do get a bit repetitive. Not that there's really anything wrong with it, but just something to note. But I overall, like, find myself, this is the hook that I keep playing in my head, is this chorus. And I keep
really?
Going back and listening. Yeah, I don't know why. You know, track number, what is it? Track number like 11 or something. It keeps coming back and I keep listening to it. And I don't know. I really like this one a lot.
I like this song. However, this song is clearly not written by Kelly. And this is what I was talking about when it comes to Kelly's voice on this album, the voice of the author of the song.
Is there a certain lyric that comes to you that you're like, she definitely didn't say that?
It's not a particular lyric. It's the song as a whole, as a collection of lyrics, in that every other song on Chemistry is at such a macro level. It's like, it's so in the weeds of that particular feeling that she was having, of that particular situation. And then for me, My Mistake sits way up high. It's very broad.
Really?
You know? Yeah, it doesn't zero in on exactly, like, it doesn't seem to be referencing Kelly's direct feelings. It's feelings that could belong to anyone, you know? I mean, I will say, like, there's the line in the house, you know, the night that our home became just a house. You know, that line, I mean, that is an incredible line, and it is so very true. And again, my friend that I played the album for bumped on that line. They were like, yes, that is exactly it. Sometimes it's really hard to put into words how you felt, but that's how I felt. Our home just became a house. And it's an excruciatingly sad line, but it just seems like it's a broader look at a relationship where the rest of the album is so specific. You know, like, you can almost narrow it down to, like, the moment it happened, even though we have no context for what right. the moments are.
Right.
So it's a good song. I like the song. I'm not even going to skip the song when it comes on, but I have a harder time connecting with the song because it is so broad.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. And interesting reason. I'm very curious what people's views are going to be on the two songs she didn't write, On High Road and My Mistake, and whether or not that actually means anything to you, you know? I don't know. It's a very interesting thing, because for me, it does not matter. But obviously, a lot of people, including you, you notice it. And that's just, I don't know. It's really interesting that people pick up on that. Which song should we talk about next? I'm going to let you choose them.
You're going to let me choose? We're going to
let me take
the road? Okay.
Yeah, why not?
Well, I mean, I know a lot of people have big feelings about this song. A lot of people are saying this should be a single off of the album. Let's talk about Down to You.
Let's.
I knew you'd be excited.
I love it. I don't even, where do you begin? Do you talk with, like, the crazy beat?
Oh, I love the beat on this. It's so thick. So thick. Oh, so good.
Like, bam. The dancing with the devil part,
uh-huh.
The devil on my back, like, just those high notes, like,
uh-huh.
Or the non-rap part. I don't know what you call it, but
yeah, I wrote down that I said it's kind of like a Post Malone kind of I got like a Post Malone vibe a little bit.
She would love to hear that.
Oh, I'm sure she would. Yeah, yeah. I almost, and I wrote down as like scat lyrics, but I know that's not what that is. But it's so different from what she's done.
So different.
And that's a style that you hear out in pop music these days. There's a lot of that in pop music. So I was really happy that she embraced that a little bit and gave it a shot. And thank goodness it worked. And it sounds awesome on this song. And I'm also glad that she didn't try to overstay the welcome of that particular style and try to do it on a bunch of other songs. She mm-hmm. kept it to this song and this song alone. And it just sounds so great. It's so different sounding from anything that she's ever done before. And going back to you were starting to talk about this with, like, the Devil on My Back, there is something, and you, if you have a good set of headphones or a good stereo, you really got to listen to this. And I want you to, because this is one of the things I caught on one of my passes where I was really paying attention. The one time that I was really paying attention to her vocal performance was when I caught this, is that there is an interesting growl in her voice when she does the pre-chorus, almost like her voice was strained on the day that she did this. There's something there, because I've heard thousands of hours of Kelly Clarkson sing songs, and I know how crisp and how clean and how polished her voice can sound. This has like a gravel in it. There's like an imperfection in her throat, and you can hear it in that pre-chorus. And it made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. It was so cool to hear that. I mean, and on top of everything else, I mean, you've got the whole hook of the song is fantastic and memorable. It's so good. I mean, this is my favorite song on the record.
Whoa.
Yep.
Wow. We've come a long way from the Velasco where you're like, I think I like Favorite Kind of High better. And
Favorite Kind of High is still a love of
mine. I know,
mine,
but still, I feel like I want something. I adore the song. I love that lyric, the cold in your veins, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The way that she sings it, it's really cool. And yeah, like I don't know. There's not a lot going on with the song, but at the same time, there's a lot going on. I don't know how to elaborate on that, but you know, I think I mentioned this. I like when we were at Belasco and we had to hand our phones back. I was talking to someone at Atlantic, and I was just like, "You guys got to make this a single," because everyone in the room was bouncing.
Yeah.
And no one knew the song. And I'm like, that is a really good sign.
Yep.
Just saying.
Yeah, I hope they release.
It was so much fun. And I am so glad. I feel like this is the chemistry. This is like the equivalent of medicine on Meaning of Life. Just in terms of just like the, I don't know, like the cool, unique kind of pop sound.
Yeah.
It's just very, it's the only one on the album that sounds like it. I don't know.
I hope they release the video soon for Down to You, because it's, I mean,
the crowd went wild.
Oh yeah.
Really did.
I want people to see what that reaction was like, because we just, I mean, you want to see a song that just infected the crowd, you know, as it built.
Mm-hmm.
That was the song. And it was so cool to see. And I'm just so glad that the production, the studio version of this song not only lived up but superseded even the live version, which was in and of itself very, very good.
So good.
Yeah.
All right. Where are we going next on this chemistry journey?
Let's go and talk about Magic.
This is one that I like a lot, but I think I need more time with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel bad. I feel like Kelly said this is like her favorite. She said about everything, but I think really she's leaned into this being her favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I don't dislike it at all. I just think I need to grow, especially the chorus. The chorus is what I need to grow. It needs to grow on me a little bit. But I love the bridge, and I love the bridge is a little complex. It has kind of two parts to it, I think.
Yeah.
And that's my favorite part. It's a little bit like breathy singing a little bit, starts a little breathy, kind of like Chemistry a little bit, and then it goes into a really like heavy beat where you hear her singing very closely and clearly to the mind. Her vocals are the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it reminds me of a bit of, it could be on like part of like a movie, like a movie soundtrack song.
Yeah. I hear that.
Those are my notes. I'm very in the middle on this song.
Yeah. For me, it's a very lovely, ethereal love song.
Ethereal, and, that's the word. That's a great word.
Yeah. And when I hear this song, even though it is a bit more of a down-tempo song, for me, the emotional level of this song is very high. Because I feel like when you listen to this song, it sounds like this was when she was at her most content. It sounds like this sounds like the song where she's in love.
Mm-hmm.
And I had written down that if this were on a separate album, take this off of Chemistry, put this on any other album of hers, people would hear that song and say, oh my gosh, she is so in love. She just seems so happy. And That's why, even though it's not a real super up-tempo bop of a song, she has very high emotions in this song, and she's very happy and content, and she believes that the relationship is, in fact, like magic. And this is actually a high moment for me in the album, because I'm glad to hear that there was content and joy and love and happiness. And of course there was, because otherwise, you know, the relationship would not have lasted nearly as long as it did. But this song proves that, yes, the foundation was love, and this song is sort of what was born of that. And I love that this song was included on the album, because there is a lot of very heavy material on here, and some of it is very sad, some of it's upsetting, some of it is just visceral, but this one is very comfortable and very soothing, and it makes me so glad it's on the record.
Yeah, I think soothing, that's also a good word. Yeah. I feel like this song in particular is proof for our listeners that Jeremy really listens to lyrics, and Sam really doesn't always listen to lyrics. I do sometimes, but clearly you listen a lot more, and I listen to the, like, I don't know, the melody and production.
Yeah, and just, that's fine.
It's cool, but it's a cool thing that we all listen to different things and for different reasons and different points. You know, we've only had the album for a few days, but, like, so, you know, it's still very fresh to us, but give me some more time. I'm going to dissect this. Like, guys, we're going to end up doing an album breakdown sometime in the near future. Well, not near future. Sometime in the future.
Yeah.
Future. And then, you know, we'll have had a lot more time to sit on it, and I can actually, like, process the album. Because I haven't processed this album at all. Not at all.
Yeah, I think by the time, well, I mean, by the time we recorded this, I probably listened through the album roughly 30 times.
What? What? I've listened to this maybe 10. Okay, so that's another reason why. you know a lot more about this album than I do.
But at the same time, like, I'm listening for
time.
I understand that. Look, I listened only exclusively to this album from the moment we got it. Until, I mean, anytime I was in the car, I was listening to it, and I would have, like, you know, I would have to keep a mental note of, like, the notes that I wanted to make about songs. Or, you know, if I was at home and I knew I had, like, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, I would go down to my office and I would pop on the album and I would listen through it. And I would listen for something different. I'm trying, man. I'm trying. I wanted to give a good in-depth, you know, reaction and review to the album. All right, Pam, let's move on to the next selection, Rock Hudson. For this song, you know, this one is a very complicated song, because it was one of the ones that was kind of like one of the very first ones that we really got a hint about early on in the process, before even, you know, the album was announced.
Didn't we, like, first hear about this on the Kelly Clarkson show? I think it was during, like, the Garth Brooks interview.
Yeah.
And she just, like, mentioned that she had a song called Rock Hudson. We're like, what?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the song starts off, "You were my Rock Hudson. It was real, but it wasn't." And I think I've mentioned this in the past on the podcast, but for some of our younger audience, or people that, you know, don't know sort of classic Hollywood,
Pam,
you know, Rock Hudson was this big heartthrob back in the, I can't remember if it was the 50s or 60s, forgive me, but he was secretly gay. And, like, gay before, like, it was cool to be gay, you know?
Or it was
acceptable.
You know, acceptable.
Yeah, in Hollywood especially. So, you know, this had me thinking about, you know, is she talking about someone who made people think that he was one thing but was actually another? You know, is she using Rock Hudson's life as a comparison to something? And I'm not saying that she's saying that anybody's gay. That's not what I mean. I'm saying that, you know, Rock Hudson was this person that was looked at as, like, he was the man's man. Like, he starred in, like, manly movies. But then it came out later that he was gay. And so it was, like, this whole thing of, like, you can be super macho and masculine and also be gay. Like, and it's fine. Like, that's, you can live your life that way. And that was such a hard thing for people to understand and wrap their brains around even 20 years ago. But I'm just wondering if, you know, she's using him as his name and sort of his legacy, if you will, as sort of a comparison for somebody else. You know, there's lots of lyrics about fighting back from being controlled. And there's control is a big theme in this album. If you really listen, there's a lot of talk about being controlled and being told what to think and what to do. And, you know, different attempts to change her. And, of course, in this song, we've got to talk about the piece by piece line.
Yeah, that's the biggie.
You know, one of the things that I meant to do, I never got around to doing, was to go back and kind of, and I know Kelly's not like an Easter egg person, but there are so many callbacks to former songs.
Invincible, I think I realized that very early on in,
yeah,
in mine. In mine, yeah.
I mean, there's callbacks to Invincible, there's Maybe, there is Piece by Piece.
Wait, there's Maybe?
Yeah, and I'm not 100% sure if it's an actual Maybe callback, but it was the way that she presented it in the song. And forgive me, I can't think of the song off the top of my head right now. I wish I could. I wish I would have written it down. And maybe I did, and we just haven't gotten to that song. I don't know. But nonetheless, I heard it, and I thought, ooh, that could have been something. So there's Sober. She mentioned Sober in one song.
She
so
does.
There's a lot of callbacks to old, at least old song titles, possibly the content of some of those songs. This one definitely is a callback to the actual song because she's talking about how she found out that her hero is me. And so I loved that callback to that song because obviously, you know, past relationship is very much referenced in Piece by Piece. And now it's sort of the aftermath. And she's saying, you know what? It's not that I had it wrong in that song. I just didn't see the full picture because actually I am my own hero.
I have a lot of mixed feelings about this song, but I think what I absolutely do love is, you know, even if it starts off a little sad, it's a very positive and empowering end and a big message to the song, which I think is really important.
Yep.
I don't know, this is the one song with the melody. I don't like this song as much as I would have hoped to. The chorus, it just falls a little flat for me. I feel bad saying that, but hell, I'm going to be honest. I think this is the one song on the album that just sounds like directly from another album of hers. Like it, not that everything has to sound new, don't get me wrong, but like this, like I feel like this is like straight from the Stronger album, the way it sounds.
Interesting.
I don't know what it is. It just sounds direct. And I don't know. It just doesn't. I don't dislike it. It just doesn't do anything for me.
Are you not connecting with the song yet?
Maybe that. I guess I need more time. And again, this is not lyrically. I'm talking specifically just like the melody and just the song itself. I'm I probably need more time because, guys, we haven't had that much time with this album. Honestly, we haven't.
Pam's only listened to it 10 times.
I mean, it's hard. I don't all the way through, like, maybe less than 10 times, but I listened to a lot of tracks like on their own. So it's, I don't know, maybe that, I don't know what the actual date is. But that being said, this is the song I was really alluding to that I definitely need some more time with. I feel bad saying it, but like, I don't know, I'm going to be honest.
No, and that's completely understandable. Yeah. You know, this is one of my more memorable hooks of the entire album. And I really do like this song a lot. I love the message of the song, and I love that this whole song kind of felt like a little bit of like a mini journey and, you know, starts off, you know, a little broken. And then at the end, she kind of pieces herself back together. No pun intended.
Yeah.
And it's a winner for me on this album. It's just it's a really, really great song. I'm glad that, you know, it is a good song because we had heard so much about it because, like you said, it was one of the first songs we really heard about. I think it was one of the very first ones we had a title for that was confirmed, at least that we thought was going to be on the album because, you know, Kelly throws out a lot of titles and such that don't end up making albums. So this could have very well been one of those kinds of songs.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on Rock Hudson for you, Pam?
Nah.
All right. I want to hear your thoughts on Lighthouse.
Ooh, Lighthouse is beautiful. Lighthouse is... it's heartbreaking, but not in the way I thought it was going to be. It's a very pretty song. I thought it was going to be a lot more vocally, like, I don't know what the word is. Not straining, but vocally, like, she sings it very pretty. It's sad, but it's very pretty. I adore it. I think it's beautiful. It reminds me a lot of Tightrope. Kind of in that same vein where it's like really hard lyrics, very like heavy and challenging and sad lyrics. But the way she sings it, it's almost like kind of a little haunting and little like, and it's very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Aben. The two of them worked on this, like with writing it. And I love it. This was one we were all really like, a lot of people were looking forward to just because with all the buzz at Belasco.
Yeah.
And I'm going to admit, I thought it was going to be a lot more like really broken down. I didn't think it was going to be all this production.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad with what they did. I think it's stellar.
It's a beautiful song. And I, you know, there's a couple of different times on this album, and I mentioned it once already, where a couple of songs pair really nicely. I was saying it earlier about chemistry and Favorite Kind of High. I think that Lighthouse and Magic are a very interesting pair together because you have Magic that comes first, and then immediately after you get Lighthouse. And it's as if we fast forwarded Kelly's life after Magic, after everything fell apart. And we as fans, we focus on who did what wrong and blaming the antagonist of the story. And at the heart is someone who is so very brokenhearted. You know, one of the lyrics that I heard and I loved was, "Sometimes you walk away just to survive." I mean, that is absolutely devastating. And again, people that I've played this song for, they say, "Wow, how true is that?" You know, sometimes you just have to walk away.
Is this the song that has like with the wants and needs don't align?
Yeah.
Like how many of us have ever felt that? Like what you need and just like how much timing is everything?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, like time's a bitch, guys. Like it really can be. And like this is lyrically one of my absolute favorites.
There's another lyric in the song where she says, "These days are harder than they used to be, and they used to be." And I love how she uses language to underline. Like, you know how you...
Yes, or like bold or whatever. Yeah.
It's like when you're texting somebody and you're like, "I'm sorry, I didn't talk in my italic form, my italic font," you know? This is her way of going back and be like, "Remember, you hear what I just said? Read that again." And they used to be. And so it really, I mean, literally underlines what she says. And you get that, you feel that impact even more. And it's just... I mean, wow. And how she like cries out at the end, how she, you know, she sort of like hits out that and like the music sort of disappears behind her and it's just her that's left. And she's got that last note. I mean, what a just absolutely beautiful song from front to back. It's just, it is. I don't know if I still believe that it's the most sad song or the saddest song she's ever written, but it's up there. It's top five. Definitely.
I was thinking about this because I was like, again, I was also kind of expecting more like, I don't know, very blatantly depressing lyrics.
Yeah.
So I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, this is not the most depressing song she wrote, but like maybe to her it is. And that's what we have to kind of think about. Like, you know, we didn't live this. So maybe to her, this is worse than Irvine. It could be. Who are we to say? You know
even
what I mean?
Even though she says, even to this day, she's been, again, doing the interview rounds, and she said in one of her most recent interviews that Irvine is still one of the lowest points absolutely in her life. And so I think that's why a lot of people equate Irvine as the saddest song she's ever written, because it is, in fact, about one of her saddest and lowest moments. I think that, you know, Lighthouse is... it's a very sad song and it's very, very deep. Again, I think that this is just the proof, and maybe this is, you know, something that we're not picking up on, but it's the proof that Kelly really has become a much better songwriter as she's gotten older, because I don't think that it's almost like she found a better way to convey what she's thinking and her feelings. Because I feel like if she were to write Irvine nowadays, I feel like it would have sounded more like Lighthouse and not the way that it did back, you know, in 2007.
I mean, yeah, that was what, 16 years? Oh God, 16 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like she's, yeah. she's grown up.
Yeah. Anything else on Lighthouse other than just the fact that it's an it's got an absolutely wonderful. Beautiful chorus.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful song. All right. Let's go to the very first song on the album. Speaking of sad songs and talk about Skip This Part. This song was another one that got a lot of talk coming out of Belasco, obviously because they made the choice, or Kelly made the choice, to start the song off a cappella, even though that's not how it's recorded on the record. And the culmination of all the moments really just washed over her in that moment. And it made for an incredible setting and scene. I don't want to keep using the word moment, but those, you know, 2 minutes where she was trying to start the song at the beginning of the Belasco show were some of the most intense moments that I feel like I've had at one of her shows. Not in like a, it's not awkward, I don't feel uncomfortable. It's just at that moment when she was first singing this song in person, we all like kind of were her in that moment. You know what I'm saying? Even though we were just seeing her walk on stage, we all were Kelly in that moment.
Yeah. This song was the most surprising for me.
Yeah.
We didn't know what it was going to sound like. Like, I was expecting kind of a small, like a slower ballady kind of song. And what a surprise this song was. Like,
yeah.
Oh, guys, I like screamed when I heard this for the very first time. I don't even know where to begin, but like, can we just talk about that key change at 2:55?
Yep. Yep.
What?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That song is so good. I'll get into more in a minute, but like that key change with the vocal distortion that goes on, that, okay, hear me out. I feel like it would be really cool for her to open up Vegas with this, which I know might be really hard for her lyrically.
Oh my gosh, you are sociopath.
Whatever. But it's funny because the parallels I got was like, I think it'd be really cool to end the song live how it is on the album. It's a huge moment. It kind of gave me some similar vibes to that, like, I don't know how to explain this. You know, for My December, she did like the Irvine like moment in the beginning.
Yeah, at the beginning of the show.
I don't know. It like kind of reminded me of that in that vein. I don't know. I'm kind of going off a tangent, but like, I just, the song was such a pleasant surprise. And I think this is probably top three for me right now.
Wow.
Lyrically, I feel like I relate to this, unfortunately, a lot right now. So that is another reason why I love this so much. It's another song I really, really wish I wrote. But I'm glad she wrote it. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Jason. Yeah. And I think it's just such a buildup, and I love that in music.
Mm-hmm.
This is really also giving some vibes to Happier Than Ever. Anyone else pick up on that?
I wrote down was that it's very Billie Eilish sound.
It's very Billie Eilish. It's very, I think I get a lot of Happier Than Ever influence, I think. I don't know if it was intentional, but, and there's like some strings, it sounds like, or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was, or I don't know what the deal was, but it, and I love like the heavy drum beat.
Oh, the timpanis just, in this song are just
the,
so
the
good.
What? The what?
The timpanis.
What does that mean?
The timpanis are like, if you've ever gone to an orchestra and you see those really, really big drums that they have, the big foam mallets that they beat on,
yeah,
that give you that kind of that rolling drum sound. That's what those are. And the timpani sound in this song is just, it's so beautiful. Like, just give me a like 50 to 90 piece orchestra and Kelly front and center singing this song. I mean, goosebumps, you know?
Seriously. It's so good. It's a perfect way to open the album. It is. I could not think of a different song. Like, this is the best song, and I'm so glad they went this route.
You want to talk about a song that sets the mood for a record?
Seriously. It sets the mood for so many different emotions.
You were talking a little bit about the lyrics, and there's just so many biting and cutting lyrics on this album. Even in this song, you know, she kind of it's kind of the first time that she kind of alludes back to like the days of like Mr. Know-It-All, when she would allude to like what other people said about her. And she has the line, you know, why did she leave him? If I could escape all this gossip, I would, you know. Oh, yeah. And she's directly saying, you know, oh, everyone's asking what's going on. And this is the part, you know, and amongst others, that she wants to skip. She doesn't want to be having people asking her, why did she leave? And those sorts of things. You know, when it gets to the bridge, I will have to say that I'm not 100% sold on the whole vocal distortion thing.
Really?
Just because this is where I really want to have the lyric sheet in front of me, because it's difficult for me to catch all of the lyrics, and then they start layering, and I'm really trying to focus on the lyrics, and I want to know what she's saying, especially since it's the bridge and she's going to switch up the lyrics a little bit. I want to know what's going on, and it makes it a lot more difficult. I don't hate it, but it's almost like it's turned up like a little too much. Like they turned it up to 6. I'd rather that be at like a 5. So I do. That's like my one complaint about this song at all, because the bridge and the vocal distortion almost brings in like a change of mood for her for the entire song. And like everything is driving her so crazy that things are distorting. They're coming undone. You know, she's just like, I need to get out of, like, it's her breaking point is the bridge, where she's just, I have got to get out of here. We have got to move on.
Am I psychotic for just loving how that, like, not how the feeling feels, but how that feels in a song? It's just, I don't know. Maybe I am, but like, it is so, I felt it physically when I heard it for the first time. I'm like, oh my God, this is everything. It's just, it's all the emotions that go with this.
For me, this is the saddest song on the album. This out sad.
Oh yeah. Oh,
Lighthouse.
For sure. Yes, absolutely. Lyrically, 1,000%.
Yes,
it is like a. It's almost. It sounds like a literal, like, not cry for help, but it's almost like, I'm not doing well. Like, I'm admitting I am struggling really hard right now, and I want to get through this, and I'm having a hard time going through this.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
And I don't. And I want to know if somebody who did not see the Belasco show has the same feeling about that, because maybe I'm tying it to the emotions of seeing her try to sing this song. And I know that, well, I shouldn't say I know, because I've said a lot of things that I say, oh, I know this is going to happen, or I know this is not going to happen, and they all end up happening. So there's a very good possibility that when the Belasco show is put out as a whole presentation and they do skip this part, it is likely they'll probably cut out the parts where Kelly stopped and started.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll probably start it off clean. And I'm fine with that, because it was again a very powerful and special moment to share with her in that show. And maybe that's what I'm always going to think about when I hear this song. Mm. I will always think about that when I hear it. And so this is just this might be my favorite lead-off song in any Kelly album. And maybe it's because it's the newest album. Maybe it's because it's a song that I'm still learning and still, you know, processing. But there is not a song that more sets up the tone and the mood for an album than this song. And also, by the way, for you numbers nerds out there, at 3:37, it's the longest song on the album. There is not one. There's not one song over 4 minutes on this album. The whole album tracks in at around 45 minutes with 14 songs. Definitely two songs are sub 3 minute songs.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. And speaking of sub 3 minute songs, one of them is the last song on the album, and that is That's Right.
Very interesting song. I really like it. The first time I heard it, I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I was like, what? I think it's a really fun, eclectic song. Again, proving that she can literally sing any genre, style of music. I love it. Like, I think it's really fun. It just maybe feels a little out of place on the album. What do you think?
I have a feeling that I have a little bit of like rosy glass. Rose colored glasses.
Yeah.
When it comes to this song, because when we saw it performed, that's when they brought Sheila E. out on stage at the Belasco, And I'm freaking out because I'm like, oh my God, that's the woman that performed with Prince. Like, I'm freaking out because I'm seeing Sheila E. 10 feet in front of me. And so they perform the song and I'm just like, this is great. I'm seeing a Sheila E. performance. Like, I was excited as like a big 80s music fan and like somebody who grew up listening to Sheila E., whether she be her solo stuff or performing with Prince. That was such a huge moment for me to see her perform live that maybe I just wasn't paying close enough attention to the song. Now, that said, listening to the song, I really like it.
It's good.
It's like Kelly's like Latin Caribbean kind of a jam. I absolutely love it. Does it stick way the hell out on this album? Absolutely it does.
Yes.
And I think my favorite quote is from the Glennon Doyle podcast that we've been so busy. We haven't even had time to talk about that.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
She mentions That's Right on that episode. And she says it's very much like her Stella Got Her Groove Back song.
Which is perfect. Lyrically, is even. It makes
absolutely
sense.
Absolutely perfect. And, you know, it's funny because I consider this to be Kelly's liberation song. And the way that I say that is that you remember the footage that we saw on social from all the random people of Kelly dancing at the Voice finale?
Yeah.
If that moment, those 3 hours that she was out dancing on the dance floor at the Voice finale were a song, this is it.
Yeah, yeah.
This is, like, I just, now forever, I'm going to picture her just dancing all night to this song. And here's the third time on the album where I feel like there are two songs that pair really well together, and you will be freaked out when I tell you what the other song is that pairs well with That's Right, and that is Skip This Part.
Just because they're so opposite?
Partially because they're opposite, but Skip This Part and That's Right are beautifully put onto this album. They're beautifully bookended.
Oh, they're perfect bookends.
Yes, because she is at her pit of despair in the beginning of this album, and then at the end, she's made it to the part she wanted to skip to.
She
has been liberated. She can now move forward with her life. She has made it to where she was getting to. And like, even just like talking about it, like, makes me emotional about the ride of this entire record. And we can start to sort of, you know, give our all-encompassing thoughts too, unless you have more about That's Right. But, you know, this was such a happy thing to hear at the end of this album, because it's sort of like, I think, Kelly's way of saying, I went through some shit, but it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
I'm moving on. The rest of my life is ahead of me. I'm off and running.
I'm so moving on. Yeah. Sorry, I had to say that. I think for That's Right, I have no idea if she'll ever perform it. I don't know if she's going to perform it in Vegas. I will say it did not sound nearly as jarring live.
That's true.
It didn't, by any means. Just wanted to point that out. I feel like we still have to talk a little bit about the four other songs that we didn't talk about.
Yeah, we will. Okay.
But those are my notes. I feel like That's Right, if I had to compare it to any other Kelly song, in terms of it's good, it's just like a little out of place, it would be Yeah.
Okay, I see that.
You know what I mean? It's like, they're good. It's just like, what's it doing?
I'll even do you one better and bring up a podcast favorite. Another song that this reminds me of, when you're talking about songs that sort of seem out of place on a whole collection of an album, I'm going to go Whole Lotta Woman.
You think that sounds out of place?
I think Whole Lotta Woman is a very different sounding song from every other song on Meaning of Life.
I think that book ends a little bit with like Love So Soft.
A little bit, but it's just such, sonically, it's just so different. Like, there is, I mean, yes, Kelly's been sassy in songs before, but like, that is like one of, if not the sassiest song she's probably ever performed. So, but yeah, I just, and you know, I just, the moment that, I mean, I'm an honest guy. I will be the first to admit, I teared up when it got to me that Skip This Part and That's Right are so completely different opposite ends of the spectrum. Of course they needed to be the bookends for this album.
Yeah.
And I love that choice. And I don't know if that's even a conscious choice that was made, but that's how I took the album. And I love that that's the way that this album wrapped up.
Me too. So let's talk about the few other tracks. We're not going to go into crazy detail because we have full episodes about them. Yep. But it's interesting to kind of go back and reflect on some of the older songs that we got, you know, especially like Mine and Me. We've had those for over 2 months now. It's kind of interesting to go back and be like, wow, those seemed forever ago. And now they actually fit on the album.
It's weird. It's weird to hear how they fit next to the songs that we haven't heard.
Mm-hmm. Mine, I remember everyone freaking out with like when the bridge hit and like the tempo change. And I'm like, now like enter, skip this part. Like you thought that was weird.
you thought
that was jarring. No, skip this part is even more jarring. But Mine, I still adore. I am just so curious what the reasoning was for releasing that when they did. Because now I hear the whole album. But I guess it's just because it's like, it's, I don't know, it's different. Still pop, though, but not like super like emotional. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's actually funny because now that you listen to Mine in and amongst the rest of the album, Mine is actually, it actually sticks out a lot. Because sonically, again, it's not super similar to the rest of the album.
You know,
Kelly talks about the gang vocals that are on there. There's not a lot of that. In fact, I don't even know if that happens again on the rest of the album, which again, I'm fine with. I'm fine with her trying things for one song and not just copy pasting onto a bunch of other songs. I like that there's some differences on this particular song rather than everything else on the record.
Yeah, but this is one that I think will always just have a very special place in my heart. Because it was our intro. It was the very first thing we really heard and absorbed from the album. And I think it just came at a very exciting time when we were all just so like ravenous for new music. So it's just, I think this is a really special song, in my opinion. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I do want to talk a little bit about Me though, because I don't know if there was a better spot to put this on the album, because you might have too many sort of down-tempo songs, but you want to talk about, like in the radio industry, when we play a really, really fast song next to a slow song, we call that a train wreck. And we don't mean it in like a negative connotation. It's just you're like hype and then you hit the wall and now suddenly you're like, whoa, it's slow dance time. And it's weird to hear High Road into Me into Down to You. I mean, it
you
is.
Think you think so?
Yes. You want to talk about peaks and valleys. I mean, it's like, you're like up here and you're like, yes, High Road, let's go. And then it's like, breaks Me. And then you have to like kick it back into gear again for Down to You. I don't know if there was a better place to put that song in between two other songs without completely dragging down, you know, side B or whatever. But it's a very like stark juxtaposition next to each other.
Cause I don't actually feel that way.
Yeah.
No, I think that because, like, I don't know, me, I still find Me to be like a very like up tempo, inspiring song. I don't think it's down. I mean, it's not like you know you're gonna go sing it and dance with it at the club or anything. But like, I still think it's pretty like upbeat and it grabs your attention. You go on the ride with it, and it's a positive message. So I don't know. I think. Maybe
it starts out with like church organ, you know.
But it's not sad and it's not a ballad. I mean, I guess, I don't know. Would you consider that a ballad? It goes crazy. So I don't know if you consider that a ballad.
I mean, we could probably agree on mid-tempo.
Yeah, but
it's definitely not up-tempo.
I don't know. I think it's just such a big song. And I think it works. I don't know. Maybe I would have swapped maybe like High Road and that. Maybe they would have put Mine and Me next to each other.
Yeah, like I said, I have no complaints about the song. I love the song. It's just the track listing. You know, it's such a small thing, but yet, and it's funny because I actually did this little like post-it note when I was listening to the album one time, and I was tracking the like the tempos of all the songs.
Oh my God.
It's, I mean, it's up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. I mean, it's very like roller coastery. And it just sort of made me laugh. And maybe I didn't give Me enough credit. I mean, I kind of had it just as a little bit more up-tempo than Mine, but still like
I think it's down-tempo. I think it's way more up-tempo than Mine. I think really
the sum of the parts of all the songs makes it more down-tempo.
Maybe. It's, I don't know how to explain this, but I'm having like a hard time. Like, I don't know how to explain this. Like the five songs we got, like, you know, Favorite Kind of High, Mind, Me, Red Flag Collector, and I Hate Love. It's like, I think of those as like their own little like EP.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird thing, and I'm trying to figure out a way for my brain to be like, no, Pam, it's one big project. And yeah. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just, cause, you know, Mine and Me, we got months ago. So it's some, it's a little hard to like remember that it's all the same project. I don't yeah. know. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
No, and I get that too. And it didn't certainly help when I first listened to the album and I skipped over all of those songs. But it's just like, I have listened to those songs like crazy for the last several weeks. So
yeah.
I just needed to sort of cleanse the palate and get some new, you know, tunes in my head. I think, you know, we sort of talked a bit about Favorite Kind of High already. It's still one of my favorites off the album. It's just such a bop. I hope it's a single sometime this summer. Red Flag Collector. I mean, look, what more is there to say about that song? It's
hilarious.
It's the funniest song of the album. I think it's the most lighthearted of the whole record. It's definitely got some spunk to it, mm-hmm. Some sass. And, you know, this is the sassiest song, you know, that she's ever seen. It's definitely like
the most different like, sass.
The most like, yeah, it's a different kind. There you go.
This
That's what I was trying
probably
to
say. Probably one of the biggest, this is probably like the biggest FU song.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So listen to our Red Flag Collector if you want to hear more about that. But yep. I adore it. I think it's brilliant. I think I love the. There's so many genres in the one song. There's a lot of pop rock elements. There's a lot of country. There's saloon piano, you know, the saloon, you know. It's a really unique song of hers. I think this wins yeah. for most unique on the album, in my opinion.
Yeah. And then, of course, I Hate Love. I still
adore it.
Yeah. Still a great song. You know, it sounds very much like we're big homers for, you know, for Kelly and for the album, but I got to say, guys, you know, this is one of her better albums of her career. Yeah.
I mean, Homer, but yes, I already said I wasn't the biggest fan of Rock Hudson. I'll own that.
Yeah.
I agree. You know, I know it's hard because we've only had the album for a little while. And I think I can't say this forever, but I think for me at least, like I obsess and I fall in love with like whatever the latest thing is. And then I move on and then you reflect back on it. At the moment, like, I think this is, it's really comparing apples and oranges, and it's also comparing two different stages of her life. So it feels weird and wrong to do this, but like comparing Meaning of Life to this, like, I love this a billion times more.
Wow.
The Meaning of Life, the album. Wow. I know. Yeah. And I think it's just because of how diverse it is.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, yeah, I was ready to come on to this review / first impressions episode and say it's great, it's perfect, no skips, but you know, that's simply not the case. I mean, yeah, over time there are going to be songs that fall out of favor, but as of right now, this is a very impressive collection of songs. Is it a pop music smash that's got, you know, five deep of radio singles? Absolutely not. I think this album maybe has two really solid radio hits on it. But I mean, as Kelly sort of said in our interview last week, or I guess it was earlier since the same week, that stuff doesn't matter to her. You know, she considers this album a success because she lived through it.
Yeah.
She made it to the other side. So I'm not going to get all wrapped up in how many is it going to sell in the first week, and you know, how high did it chart and how many hits are there and how many spins? Like, I don't care.
I genuinely don't care. I really don't.
What I know is that she made an album that was incredibly difficult for her to make. And she's now looking at this rather than her life. She's looking at it as a body of work. And we get to benefit from that because 14 really good songs came out of some very, very shitty time in her life. And there are some ups, there are downs, but for me, this album is really balanced in that you don't always stay down in the dumps. She usually brings you right back up before settling in on kind of a baseline mood with, you know, various songs. And Kelly is telling a story on this album, even if it is a little bit out of order. She's telling a story, but it's a story that doesn't overstay its welcome.
Yeah.
And she doesn't belabor a lot of things. You know, you can see that in the fact that, like I said before, not one song over 4 minutes long. So this is really, I think this is a high point creatively in Kelly's career. This is an incredible album. It is. It is not going to be, you know, probably looked upon as her most commercially successful album. Are there going to be awards for it? Probably award nominations. I don't care if it doesn't win, you know, Grammys or whatever. I don't care if it doesn't get nominated for Best Pop Vocal Album. I mean, it'd be nice. It'd be great. I'm always going to root for her for that stuff to happen. But if it doesn't, or if it doesn't win awards, it is not going to tarnish and dampen my love for this album, because she put out an incredible collection of music that we have been waiting for a long time. And as far as I'm concerned, it was worth the wait.
I have chills. That was inspiring, Jeremy. No, I fully agree. You know, we're really, really fortunate. And, you know, I'm super grateful that we got the opportunity to hear this. You know, all of us have the opportunity to hear this, and it's super personal for her. She didn't have to release it. She felt like she had to, but just for her own sanity. But, like, you know, I think it's a gift that she shared with us, and I will not take any of this for granted. I think it's a really, really special collection of songs. I think I don't know if it was intentional or not, but it is just one of the most unique projects she's worked on. And it doesn't sound like anything she's done before. And I think that is why I love this so much as a whole, because I feel like for a while we always knew a sort of similar vibe we were going to get with her. It's so different. It's so different. And it keeps us on our toes. And, like, how fortunate are we that we can say that after 21 years of her career, that she is cranking out, like, such cool and different things. How cool is that? I don't know.
I love that. Yeah. And with that, you know, we want to know what you guys think. Obviously, you're going to be sharing your opinions. Who even knows when you're listening to this episode? You might be listening to it after your first listen through the album. You might be listening to it before you've listened to the album. You might be listening to this days after you first got a chance to listen to the album. Either way, we still want to know your thoughts, even if you've already shared them on social media. Please share your thoughts about Chemistry. Share with us your favorite songs. Share with us whatever you want about the album.
Yeah, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Miss Into Podcast. As always, feel free, if you want, to leave us a rating on the Spotify app, and same thing on Apple Podcasts. Whatever you can do, whether that's going out and buying the album today, streaming it, just promoting it on your social media, whatever, or sharing it with a friend, whatever you can do, you know, do what you can today to help spread the word about Chemistry, because it's a really great album that the world deserves to hear. The world should hear, because it's that good.
Yeah, and if you have it in your means to do so, maybe gift a friend a copy of the album. Send them a, you know, $10 or whatever iTunes gift card or Spotify gift card or whatever, and say, hey, use this to buy Kelly Clarkson's new album, because it really, really is worth it. And especially if you've got somebody who has lived through this kind of experience, they might want to hear this. They might want to give this album a listen, because I think that it might definitely speak to them as well. Real quickly before we go, a couple of things. One, we are going to be back on Tuesday with another new episode. I know we've put out a lot of content this week. By the way, thank you to everybody for all the really, really wonderful comments about our interview with Kelly Clarkson earlier this week. We would have loved to have, you know, promoted the heck out of that, but we wanted to keep it kind of under wraps and just kind of surprise you guys with it.
The hardest thing to keep a surprise. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm still just.
We were sitting on this for about 2 weeks.
It was hard to do.
It was really hard to do. But yeah, thank you everyone for the awesome feedback. I feel like for me, it was like a little chaotic on my end. But I think we did as best as we could.
And you know what? It would have been a lot easier to sit on this had Kelly not alluded to it in that dang live.
Oh my God. I know. I know. We would have just slid right by, but it's okay. It's okay.
I think Pam and I texted each other like after she kind of said that in the Twitter spaces, and we were like, damn it. Damn you, Clarkson, you big mouth.
Because then we had people tweeting us being like, oh my God, they're, you know, does this mean Kelly's going to be on? And then they're like, well, Pam and Jeremy aren't saying no. And I'm like, guys, yeah, of course we're not going to like just tweet and say, oh yeah, she's going to be on. Like,
yeah, casual.
We have to hype this up. So, yeah, or just drop it on you guys. So anyway, yeah, thank you guys for all the awesome support and feedback. We really, yes, really appreciate it. And we have a fun interview coming up next week. It's going to be with Robert Venable, who is the mixing engineer for the Kelly Clarkson Show and does a lot of work on Kelly's albums as well, including he worked on Chemistry a bit. So super pumped to talk with him.
Yeah. And just one more thing on the Kelly Clarkson interview. We appreciate all of the support that you guys have given over the last, you know, 3 years. Three years now.
Almost three years.
Yeah. Over the years, you know, people have been asking us, I think since episode number one, when are you going to have Kelly on? And you guys have been our biggest cheerleaders and we really appreciate it. And, you know, just the fact that the day we found out she even knew about the podcast was like the greatest day. We were like, well, we can close it down. We've done our job.
Yeah.
But, you know, as Kelly said in the interview, she wants to come back and hopefully we'll get a chance to do a longer form interview because I know it was really short. So thank you again for all the support that you guys have all shown us. You guys have all said incredibly nice things, not just over the course of the last week, but over the course of, you know, the last 2.5 years. So we really, really appreciate that. And on that note, we're saying this a little bit early, but I think we'll probably be safe to say that by the time you're hearing this episode, our live show in Las Vegas is probably going to be sold out.
Yeah. Like,
which
we
is
sold,
so exciting.
Insane. We sold, I would say, about 85%, maybe 90% of our tickets in the first day.
Yeah.
Guys, that's so nice. Thank you so much.
I've never felt more like Taylor Swift in my life.
I know, right? No, just kidding. But we're really excited. We're kind of finalizing some stuff right now. But it's going to be really fun. We're going to have some giveaways. We're going to have some games. We're going to talk about night one in Vegas and some other stuff. We'll figure it out. Well, you guys will see it. But yeah, really excited to see you guys in just a few weeks. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So thank you to everyone who bought tickets. For those of you who were not able to get tickets, we wish that we could have more room to get more people in, but it is what it is. We are going to obviously release the episode just a few days later, so you'll be able to feel what it was like to be in the room that day with the live episode. So again, thank you to everybody for selling out our live episode in Las Vegas at Planet Hollywood. We are very, very excited. So with that, go back and listen to Chemistry once again. Enjoy this album. This, like Pam said, this album is a gift.
Yeah.
And we are so thankful to have an artist to support like Kelly, who puts out material like this. Mm-hmm. And so keep supporting the album, keep buying the album, keep streaming the album, just support the album. And thank you, Kelly, for putting out an incredible record. We are so proud of you and proud as fans.
Yeah.
So I don't know what else to say. Enjoy the album. Thank you for listening to our recap and early review of Chemistry. We certainly do appreciate it.
Thank you, guys, and we will see you on Tuesday. Bye.
See you, guys.
Thanks for listening to Miss Into Podcast. Miss Into Podcast was written and produced by Jeremy and Pam. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you'll be the first to know when a new podcast is posted. Find us and continue the conversation at Miss Into Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Find more at missintopodcast.com.